This morning we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, looking at living with Jesus in the season of my life. What season are you in your life? Well, we're all in the prime of life, right? Young, healthy. Your bones, when you, yeah. Living with Jesus in the season of our lives. What is the season of life, and how are you and I to live in that season? This is what we're looking at today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Let's pray before we study. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your presence and thank you so much for your love to us, your forgiveness in Christ, and how you live in us by your Spirit. We come to worship you now through the reading and teaching of your word. Please keep the evil one from us. Help us to focus our hearts and our minds on your word and as you instruct us by your Holy Spirit. You know every need that each of us have in our hearts today and in our lives. And I pray that you meet those needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know the need we have to know you and how you're working in our lives and how to live our lives on a daily basis. So give us instruction from your word by your Spirit. May your children be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged. We pray for those who do not know Jesus that are here this morning, that you would call them to yourselves, that show your love and mercy and grace and forgiveness to them. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in the first verse, we're told here, there's a time, everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. And then he elaborates on that in the following verses. And that's how you and I are living. That's where we're living today. You look through all those characteristics in 2 through 8, and that's what you and I go through in our lives. But we need to look at two words in first verse. And the first word is season, and the second word is time. They're two different words in the Hebrew. Season there means an appointed time. Season is an appointed time. And then the word time in the next phrase means it's the right time. So there's an appointed time for everything in your life and mine. And when that time comes, it's the right time for that event to take place. Now, how many of us do not like change? Yeah, every one of us, you know. We get kind of stuck in our... We get in our rut and we like it. It's comfortable. And don't mess with me, okay? Just don't mess with me. But you know, when you look at verses 2 through 8, it's full of change. God is the author of change. And He brings changes into our lives on a daily basis. How do we deal with that? And how are you and I coping with the season of life that we're in right now? Well, let's look at this. And in order to do that, now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want us to look at verses 15 through 17. As the Holy Spirit is leading Paul to give instruction to believers in Ephesus and what they need in their lives and how to focus on the Lord and what He's doing. So let's look at 15 through 17 of Ephesians chapter 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's look at that verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, as not as unwise, but as wise. Let's look at the word look. That's the first word. What does it mean to look? It means to have a spiritual understanding of life. When you and I go through a day, how often in a day are we thinking about life from a spiritual perspective? We look at it politically, philosophically, economically, socially, but what about spiritually? In other words, we would say, Lord, what are you doing? Not questioning Him this way. Lord, what are you doing? I don't recommend that one, okay? But this one is good. Lord, what are you doing? I don't understand. Help me to understand this situation I find myself in from your perspective, from a spiritual standpoint, from a biblical standpoint. And then you have the word carefully. Carefully. Pay attention. I never will forget some years ago, I had my car in the driveway and a trailer connected to it. And I was probably walking in an area I shouldn't have walked because I was stepping over the tongue of the trailer. And guess what happened? I didn't pick my foot up high enough. And I fell. Bam! Right on that concrete driveway. And I considered myself being very careful. You know, the fall was fun. It was that stop that I didn't like. And the first thing I did is looked up to see if anybody was around. Then I started seeing if I could move. And then I got up. But in my mind, I was being careful. But in actuality, I wasn't. Am I being careful in the way I live through the day with a biblical worldview of life, a biblical understanding of my life? Or if I put that for Sundays only, or do I carry it with me every day? The Holy Spirit says, be careful. Be careful how your spiritual perspective, is it biblical? Do you and I have a biblical Christian world in life view, a biblical world in life view, or a Christian? The difference is, in a Christian world in life view, it's based on what I believe. A biblical world in life view comes from Scripture. And we should have a biblical world in life view, which should be Christian, but it should come from the Bible. The next one is then how you walk. How you walk. This is how you and I conduct our lives on a daily basis. Event by event. Person by person. Whatever you and I are going to encounter in a day, how am I conducting my life in that event, in those circumstances I'm in the situation I'm having to deal with, in the person I'm dealing with? Am I dealing with that person biblically. That's walking. That's conducting our lives. Then we have two choices. He says, not as unwise, but as wise. Now let's look at the word unwise. Unwise means there is absolutely no spiritual discernment at all. Not taking into consideration anything spiritually. Ignoring the Bible, ignoring the Lord, just looking at me, myself, and I. This is basically a non-believer. And you and I should never, never conduct our lives unwisely. We should never do that. And if we find ourselves doing that, there needs to be an immediate correction in the way we're living. So we're not unwise, but we're wise. So what is wise? Well, we have divine insight. We have God-given knowledge and how to use it. And then the other part of that is the knowledge and understanding and the correct use of it. We don't use it to manipulate and to control and to get our way, to take advantage of people. We use it in a way that's going to be pleasing and honoring to the Lord. So we're wise spiritually. And this divine instruction, which the entirety of Scripture is divine instruction. In the Old Testament, you hear the word the law, and the word law in the Hebrew is Torah, and that means divine instruction. So when you and I pick up the Bible and we study it and we read it and we meditate on it, and the Holy Spirit reveals to you and to me what the Holy Spirit wants us to learn, you're being taught by God the Spirit. What you learn here today, you're not learning it from me. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. That is divine instruction. Not to be ignored, not to be taken lightly, but to be taken seriously. And so we see here, look carefully then how you walk. Pay attention spiritually, biblically, how you're walking. Not as unwise, not like a non-believer, but as wise. Now, look at verse 16. When we're living and our lives walking like we're supposed to in 15, then look at 16. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Making the best use of the time. Maybe some of your translation says redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. And what this means here is making the best of every opportunity for the honor of God. The best opportunity for God to be honored and exalted. That's making the best use of the opportunity. Whatever you and I are doing, whatever business we're conducting, God's going to be honored and He's going to be pleased. So that's making the best use of the time. Now we're in a different language in the New Testament. We're in Greek. And as you've heard me explain before, there are two words for time in the Greek. One is chronos. It's a block of time. The other one is kairos. It's a point in time. It's one of the events in that chronos. The word here is kairos. It's that particular event that you and I are in at that point in time. So, right now, are you and I making the best use of this time of teaching? Which means, where's my mind right now? Where's my mind? Is it locked on this? Or is it locked on this, the Scripture? I know where you're locked on, and it's not this. So we make the best use of every opportunity. This is how you and I are to live. Making the best use of the time. Why do we do this? Because it says the days are evil. The Greek word for evil there is wicked. Bad. Do you think we're living in days that are wicked right now? It's pretty bad right now. It is pretty bad. What does it mean to be living in wicked days? It means we're living in times that are spiritually harmful to us. And think about that. You know, we're always very sensitive to the environment. We don't want any pollution. And we want to keep everything clean and germ-free as we possibly can. But what about spiritually? What about spiritually? You know, in Proverbs 4:23, we're told, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Be careful what you and I let into our hearts and our minds, spiritually speaking, because it will have an effect on our lives. And is it harmful? Is what I'm allowing into my heart and in my mind spiritually harmful to me? Or spiritually good for me? So when he talks about the days of wicked, he's talking about spiritually harmful ideas and thoughts and desires that find ourselves in, and we're not paying any attention to the spiritual harm that it will cause us. I mean, take for instance, this flu season that we've had, it's been the worst season that we've had in many, many years for the flu. And people are wisely, you know, keeping their hands clean. And I never will forget, I went into St. Vincent's one day and a nurse was sitting at the station with a mask on. I thought, she works here and she's got a mask. Where's mine? And I said, are you okay? And you know what she told me? She said, yeah, I got the flu. And I thought, well, you ought to be in a bed in there. You shouldn't be sitting up here. But they were so, the employees had, so many of them had flu. She had to work. So I stepped back and said, where's room so-and-so? I didn't want that stuff. Are we that cautious about our spiritual health that we guard our hearts and our minds, and anything that we know from Scripture that's going to be spiritually harmful to us, we keep away from it. We don't let it get near us. Now, let's go to verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish. Therefore, do not be foolish. Now look at the verb to be there. It's an important word because it's not the verb to be. It's become. It's become. Do not become foolish. So what Paul is saying here, as he was led by the Holy Spirit, is that you are being wise. And you are conducting your lives in a good way, but there might be some ways you're not. So don't become foolish. Don't have the knowledge, the divine instruction that God's given to each of us by the Holy Spirit based on His Word and not use it. That's what a fool is. A fool is someone who has the knowledge but refuses to use it. And you and I have the knowledge. Those of you who are believers and you've studied the Scriptures, you've been taught the Scriptures, you and I know what God would have us to be and to do. And so this is what we need to be and to do. And so here we're told here, do not become foolish. And again, foolish is having the knowledge. It's also not getting the knowledge available to us on any given situation. Not researching and getting all the knowledge we need in order to make a decision. And then, before we make a decision, do we weigh the consequences of the action that we're going to take? Instead of just blindly going into something, we stop and think and pray and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then we make a decision. And it's all biblically pleasing to God. So therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand, that means to gain insight. To gain insight on what the will of the Lord is. The word will there means two things. It's, first of all, it's what the desire of the Lord is. And the second thing is what His plan is. His desire and His plan. Well, we know what His desire is. Be holy because I am holy. That's the basic characteristic. Be holy, which means don't be like this world. Be separated from them. But how do you know what the plan of the Lord is? That's where we get tripped up. Because we're finite and He's infinite. He's omniscient. We know in part. So how is it that you and I can know what the Lord is? I'm going to give you the answer. I know this is what you all want to know. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16. This is where Paul and Silas have been joined by Timothy on a missionary journey. And they're on this journey to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Acts 16, beginning in verse 6, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. What? The Holy Spirit says, don't go to Asia? Would the Holy Spirit tell us not to do something? You better believe it. And here it is, right here in the book of Acts. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Strike two. Paul, being convinced, he's doing what the Lord would have him to do. And now the second time, by the Holy Spirit, he's being told no. Look at verse 8. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Notice that after Paul had the vision from the man from Macedonia asking for help, they concluded, which means to draw a conclusion, what do you have to do? You have to pray, you have to think, you have to figure out, okay, this is God's leading. And that's what they did. They concluded. They just didn't pack up and head off. They stopped and they thought it through. And they believed that's where God was leading them. And they went in that direction. This is how you and I go through a day. Because the Spirit of God will tell you and me how to handle the situation, how to look carefully, how to weigh all the information we have before we make a decision. But you know what? That takes time. And it takes a very close relationship and a walk with the Lord. How is your relationship with Christ? And how is your walk with Him? Are we so close to the Lord that all He has to do is whisper? And you hear that voice. And you know that voice because you've heard it over and over and over again in your life. And you know how the Lord addresses you. And when you hear that, put on the brakes and listen. We're not good at listening in our society. We all have something to say, and very few have anything desire to listen to what's being said. Brothers and sisters, you and I have to be able to listen to the Spirit of God in our hearts. And I'm not talking some charismatic, mystic type of relationship and hearing. I'm talking about being in the Word and knowing the Word. Having a relationship with Christ that's strong and vibrant. And when the Holy Spirit says, don't do that, you know in the depth of your heart and in your mind, the Lord's saying, no, I'm not doing it. Or the Lord is saying, wait. And we're not good at waiting. We want it now. We want to do it now. We want instantaneous success that's huge. And that's not necessarily of God. And so you and I need to just take this afternoon, maybe. Get your nap first. And when you wake up from your nap, go back over this. Think about the season of life you're in. Where am I in my life? What decisions do I have facing me? And am I considering everything in those decisions? And am I following the leading of the Spirit of God in those decisions? We all have seasons of life. They're different. Churches go through this. God brings changes in the churches. He brings them through seasons of life. And we have to make that call as we're led by the Spirit of God. And we have to trust that we have such a relationship with Christ and such a walk with the Spirit of God that when God says, this is the way when you walk in it, when you turn to the left and when you turn to the right, you know that's what you need to do. You and I have to be discerning. It's very important. As individual believers, as families, as a church. Are you ready to continue on in that season? As long as God directs? And are you ready to change as the Spirit of God directs? Because not to change would be disobedient. And not to follow the Lord would be disobedient. We go through seasons of life. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatever God works in our lives is the best for us. And that's the decision you and I need to make. So examine your life. Where are you in your season? What is the Lord doing? Am I listening to the Lord? And am I willing to follow Him? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we love You because of Your love for us. And how we praise You and thank You that You live within our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. And You live in us to assure us of Your love for us and the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And at Your timing, You reveal to us the seasons of life that we're in and that we're going through, and how to walk through that season of life carefully, with spiritual discernment and with Your wisdom. Father, You've spoken to every one of us here as individuals and possibly as families and as a church. Help us to discern how You're working in us. And then, Father, strengthen our faith and our trust in You, that when You do say, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the left or when you turn to the right, we will respond in obedience. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord has spoken to all of us here today. You know what He said to you. And I would encourage you to walk in obedience to Him as He's leading you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you haven't taken that step of faith to trust in Him, I want to talk to you after this service. Trust and obey. What a hymn. Great hymn to close with. Let's stand as we sing. Ecclesiastes 3:1, look on the front of your bulletin. This is where you and I live every day. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And the Lord is in control of it all. That's the great news. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each and every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.